In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amin. Today is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Kiyak, and as we just heard, it is about the visit of Saint Mary to Saint Elizabeth. She went there serving her for 3 months until she gave birth to her son, John. And from this passage, we will learn something today about what would a valuable love look like. This word love is maybe one of the mostly used among us in these days, but not every love is of value. Love is like a coin, and some of the coins are of gold and are priceless, and some of the coins, they are of no worth whatsoever. So we need to check ourselves and make sure that whatever love we share it with others, either with our families, with our spouses, our children, our parents, even with God, this kind of love is of value, and God will look at it and regard it. Otherwise, maybe we are laboring and we are thinking of ourselves that we are offering love, but at the end of the day, this love has no regard whatsoever before God or even before men. So a valuable love has 5 characteristics. It's a serving love. It is seasoned with wisdom. It's offered for no return. It is adorned with loyalty, and it is in the Lord Christ. I'll say it again. For love to be of value, it has to be a serving love, seasoned with wisdom, offered for no return, adorned with loyalty, and in the Lord Christ. We'll go to each of these points and see what does it mean. A valuable love is a serving one. Saint John tells us in his first epistle, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." When we speak about God's love, we say that, so God loved the world, then what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. He came and he endured what we all know in order for him to redeem us. A loving God is a serving one. You cannot just stay still, passive, and you claim that you love the people around you because you think of yourself that you hold emotions for them. Saint Mary loved Saint Elizabeth. What was the sign of her love? She went, she endured traveling between her city and the city of Saint Elizabeth in order for her to offer her a service for 3 months. A serving love means its interest is the well-being of the loved one. It is not something personal. It is not because I expect you to pay back to me anything. I love this person, and that's why I want to serve him or her. Not in weight of anything. Not because this person is going to pay back anything to me. By the way, God's love to us is a serving one. Even the command that God gave to us is not something we pay him back. When we are following his commandment, we are to be safe. We are the ones who truly will enjoy it. We are not doing God favor when he asks us to abide to his commandments. A love that's of value is a serving one. As I said, when love is passive, self-serving, it is of no value, unable to make any change. The second characteristic of what a valuable love will look like, it is seasoned with wisdom. By the way, in any virtue, if we take wisdom away, it will turn into a vice. Wisdom is needed for any virtue to give it its price or its worth. I'll give you an example. The father in the story of the prodigal son, the lost son, when he allowed his son to leave, he just dismissed him and gave him the money that he wanted. Was he a loving father by then? Would be this something we look at it and we see and we can say this man is a loving father? Actually, he was. Why? In his wisdom, he knew that keeping the son against his will, while his son is determined to leave, rebelling against his father, would deny his son to learn a lesson People learn by one of three ways. Either by words, or by a model, or by consequences. The most difficult one is when we learn by enduring or by bearing the consequences of our foolish acts. It's sad, but unfortunately, this is the most effective way. I believe that this son, this father, he worked a lot communicating by words to his son, it is not safe to leave, it is not good that you dismiss your family. And the son did not listen. Apparently, the son also did not learn from the good example of his loving father. He did not imitate him at the beginning. He did not even value his love. So it was good for this son at a certain time that he will be like left alone to leave, and then he learned the lesson when he started to serve the swine. The love of the father in the story was seasoned with wisdom, and that's why he allowed his son to go into this trip. It is risky, it is dangerous, yes, but there was no other way to restore the son back. Now he is set to learn the lesson from the consequences of his choices. Look at the love of the prophet Nathan to David. David committed a major sin. He committed adultery and he sent the husband of the wife to war to die. Nathan loved David. In which way? He was able to go and confront him, and he told him, "You are the man, you did this." Also, Samuel the prophet did the same with King Saul. He confronted him and he told him, "You acted foolishly when you did this, when you offered the sacrifice while you are not a priest." Samuel and Nathan loved the kings, and their love was expressed in the confrontation. Many times we look at confrontation as a sign of, you don't like me, that's why you are attacking me. If you are criticizing, then you don't love me. As if like love would entail that you agree with anything I do, and you do not even come to correct me. Unfortunately, many of us understand love, it is just agreeing with the people. I do not want to upset you. Then I compliment you when you are wrong. I say things to make you happy, even if I know that whatever you are doing is wrong. And any kind of confrontation is taken as, oh, this is harsh, this is not loving. Samuel loved Saul, that's why he confronted him. This is a wise love. Nathan loved David, that's why he went and told him, "You are the man, you transgressed the command of God." The love of the Lord Christ to St. Paul himself. St. Paul, he had the kind of sickness. He prayed 3 times for God to take away this thorn from his flesh. And Christ denied his request 3 times. Was Christ loving St. Paul or he was not? Was when he denied his request caring father or he was not? Again, also, it is wisdom that makes us sometimes to say no. It is not because I don't like you when I do not agree with whatever you are asking me to do. A loving father or a mother, sometimes they have to say, "No, I don't agree," even if this will make the son or the daughter upset. St. Paul was not upset because he knew that God loved him, and the sign of his love was to leave him to live with the thorn. Christ loved Judas Iscariot. He was not a good man, we all know this, but he loved him. And this love was seasoned with wisdom. How? He invited him, maybe this is going to change this man. He gave him the same gifts like the other disciples. St. Judas went, preached, did miracles, and also on Covenant Thursday, while already the plot started, and Judas went to the high priests to agree with them how he is going to deliver his master, Christ still washed his feet. Showing patience to this man was the wise love. Sometimes when we look and we see there is someone among us, maybe is not doing what he's supposed to do, he is causing trouble. Many people rush to the priest or to the bishop asking why you don't kick this person out, why you are allowing him among the people, he is causing trouble. And we take it as maybe Abuna is biased, maybe Sayyidina doesn't want to upset this person. But actually, many times we do not know that a sign of a wise love is to be patient and to wait and give this person a chance. Maybe he or she are going to change. A parent, when he discipline his son or his daughter, is a loving one. Giving whatever our kids are asking from us, being so scared to upset them, is not really love. It is spoiling. It has no other name. And many parents, they are indulged in this kind of practice. They are destroying their children by restraining themselves from disciplining them. It is very sad when we see a parent coming and saying about his son or daughter that's maybe 2 years, I cannot control him or her. What does this say? I love him, but my love is a destructive one. I cannot tell him no, he will be upset. So what? Then what? We never saw a child died out of crying. Never happened. But unfortunately, again, many of the love that we share with our children is not a wise one. That's why it has no value. On the contrary, God will judge us because this kind of love will not raise the children that fear God. So a valuable love is a serving one, is seasoned with wisdom. The third characteristic of a valuable love is offered for no return. There is kind of love, when we share it, people will share it back with us. This is the reward of it. It ends there. But the love that's truly this, the way God loves us, is offered, and I'm not expecting something back from you. Parents, when they love their children truly, they are not doing this waiting for something in return. Even when they ask them to abide to whatever they are telling them, it is just to make them safe. I want you to be successful and to prosper. I'm not trying to dictate your life. I'm not offering you something in order for me to pay me back by your obedience. Your obedience will make you safe. This is how God loved us. Loving those who do not favor us is this kind of valuable, priceless love. Those who have nothing to pay us back, the poor and those who are left behind, no one remembers them. This is a valuable love. David loved Saul, the king, even though Saul wanted to kill him. On one occasion, David was able to kill Saul if he wanted. Saul was asleep and David was close to him. He could have killed him and no one would really would object what he did. But David told Saul, "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." He loved him even with no return, even while Saul is not acknowledging, is not knowing, is not sharing this love back with David. The fourth characteristic of a valuable love is adorned with loyalty. What does loyalty mean? Loyalty means that I keep loving you to the end, even while you don't see me. Even if you are not watching, I will still love you. In my heart, I will love you. Let us see some of the examples. What does loyalty mean? Joseph was serving in the palace of Potiphar, the head of the police of Egypt. Joseph loved his master, and that's why he was loyal to him. He did not agree with the woman, the wife of Potiphar, when she asked him to commit sin with her. Why? Because this is how Joseph loves. He loves by being loyal. I cannot betray the trust of the man who allowed me to work in his palace. Jonathan loved David. He was loyal to him, even though this would entail that Jonathan would lose the throne. David would become a king. He is not going to inherit it from his father. Still, he loved him. This is loyalty, loving at all times, all the way to the end, to the last day of the life of Jonathan. He loved David and he was loyal to him. There is a very interesting story in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. And this is a story for our children to learn what does it mean to love and being loyal to your parents. God asked Jeremiah, his prophet, to bring to his house a group of people called the sons of Rechab. And he brought them for something very strange. He brought them in and he offered them wine to drink. And the sons of Rechab told Jeremiah something very strange. They told him what? We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. They insisted, even before the prophet of God, not to drink wine, just because their father told them not to drink wine. This is a loyal love. While their father was not among them, while they are requested by a prophet to do something, they still said no, because we are loyal to our father who said, no, you cannot drink wine. Imagine this. Abuna brings a group of people. By the way, Jeremiah was doing this not to entice them. He did this to show, and God to show example of what obedience and loyalty would look like. And God said to Jeremiah, you go and tell the people what the sons of Rechab did, and tell them why you are not doing the same with me. Imagine this example to show you how much loyalty was expressed in this story. Abuna would bring some of the high schoolers or college and invite them for a banquet, and with the goal saying, we will go to a bar and we spend the night there having fun. And then these kids, they say, Abuna, sorry, we cannot go there. Our parents told us not to be indulged in such activity. This would be something to be admired, something to be praised, something we look up to it and we learn from the example. God promised the sons of Rechab that there will always be among them people who stand before God at all times. Compare this now to what's happening. Once the parents just turn the shoulders, they don't have to go away, then I do whatever. And when I tell my parent that I love you, and I act like this behind their backs, I'm deceiving them, I'm deceiving myself. Really, I don't care about them. If love is only offered in front of your eyes, this is a worthless love. Love should be adorned with loyalty to have a meaning, to have a value. The four friends in the story of the paralytic, that they uncover the roof and to bring their friend down before Christ, is another example of loyalty. They stick to their friend. I will be with you all the time. It is not because you cannot walk, you cannot share things with us, then I will forsake you or I abandon you. This is a kind of relationship that should be between a husband and wife. They will stick to each other to the end. If you are sick, if you are look good, if you are aging, it doesn't matter. We are in it together. I will stick to you at all times. This is loyalty. This is love of value. Love that alters with every conflict or a challenge is of no value to either party. Meaning, if I love you today and tomorrow I don't like you, then my loyalty is questioned. If today I love you because you are good with me and tomorrow there is a conflict, I forget all of the years that we had a friendship in or had marriage in and we are done. There is something wrong here. This kind of love is very shaky, has no value to either of them. Unfortunately, many people they love in certain times. when things are favored, but in certain other times, I cannot just continue in this friendship forever. I can love you in front of you, but behind your back, I will stab you and I will talk about you and I will backbite you to the end. And still, when we meet with those people, we say, you know what, I love you so much. The fifth characteristic of love, it should be in the Lord Christ. True, valuable love should be always governed by Christ's commandments. If I love you and then I allow you or I allow myself to break the commandment, this love, even if I say I would die for you, is of no value. Our love as a children of God should be always in Christ Jesus. Love that violates the rule, this rule is of no value and should not be regarded. It is not because I love you, then I agree with you on anything. I go with you wherever. And then because I love you. If I break Christ's commandments, this love is of no value. There is a one sign that can tell if this kind of love is valuable in Christ or not. If I love someone in Christ, this will make us both to be better people. We will move up. We will change in a better way. For my sons and my daughters who are here today in the church, if you are in any kind of a relationship, and this relationship is taking you backwardly, is getting you away from your goal to live as a Christian, even if this person says to you, I love you every minute, this person doesn't mean it, you should not believe him or her, this is a love that we should not be indulged in. Love in Christ should make us to be better people, we and those people whom we love. Unfortunately, many people, when they are starting a relationship, they say, okay, we are reading the Bible together. He started to question about the church and he wants to come and attend. And then what? Nothing. That's it. I get you hooked and then I go back into my previous attitude and nature and choices, living the life away from Christ. This kind of love is not in Christ and it should not be something that we live by. Lust, being in a relationship with an unbeliever, compromising our values to get along with friends, complementing a heretical dogma to please others are examples of love that is not in Christ. When someone tells you, why do you take communion? This is something that's of no value. It's just like a memory. And out of what you call it as love, you tell him, it's our church tradition. We're just doing this to make our parents happy. This kind of friendship, this kind of love is not in Christ. We have to be very watchful over this. Whatever kind of love we have should be in Christ Jesus in order for it to be valuable. Today, the story of Saint Mary visiting Saint Elizabeth is a demonstration of love that is of value for both of them. Let us review together what would a valuable love look like. It's a serving love, seasoned with wisdom, offered for no return, adorned with loyalty, and always in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.